God is in your midst, part four. God is in your midst, part four. Say with me the title, would you? Give Him Room. On the website, gracechristiancenter.us, you can find the other messages that we preached, but we have been talking about giving the Holy Spirit room in our lives and in our congregation. The Bible tells us, Matthew 18:20, would you please read this with me? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now this promise is bold. It's powerful. When we gather to seek His face, pray and seek His name, His face, there He is, He promises, in the midst of us. Now, in context, this actually is in a section of Scripture that deals with disciplining a brother or sister in Christ, where witnesses come together, and when we move in the authority of loving grace toward another to help them in the midst of their sin, the Lord says, I'm there. I'm there in the midst. And the promise is true, whether it's discipline or not, when you get people together who are hungry for Him, who love Him, who want His presence, He promises, there I am in the midst. How many know that Jesus is right here this morning? Amen. As we've gathered together to seek His face, and every time we gather, it is a valid, alive, full of His presence type of gathering, because He wants to do something supernatural. Say it with me. God wants to do something supernatural in my life. Did you come with that expectancy this morning? He's here to meet with you as we've gathered to meet with Him. When we gather, He has something He wants to say and do. Do we let Him? Do we let Him give expression? One of my favorite sets of scriptures, and I want you to know where it is. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it this morning. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to have one, if you'll simply raise your hand. I know, Bill, if you would help somebody that may not have a set of scriptures. I will also put them up here, but it's so good to have it in front of you as well. And it's Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a what? Future and a hope. Now that's really in line with what the Lord was speaking this morning, wasn't he? He loves us. He gives us hope. He's with us. I know the thoughts I think toward you. God's thoughts. What are God's thoughts toward you? How often do you think God's thoughts toward you might be, I'm going to squash you like a bug because you blew it. You know, you ever feel like that? No, that's not what he says. He says, I've got thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God is telling his people who were carried away captive into the Babylonian captivity that I'm still here. I'm still with you. I still see you. I still know you. Yes, Judah was judged for sin. You remember your Old Testament history? Or if you don't, it goes like this. The people of God were called to be separated unto him. They were his special people, but they kept walking away and worshiping other gods. God sent prophet after prophet to them to turn them around to say, repent from that sin. They refused to repent from that sin. Finally, they came into the consequences of their sin, turning away from God. And he says, I'm sending you to Babylon for how many years? Anybody remember? 70 years. 70 years of captivity in Babylon. But even while they were in the midst of that difficulty, God said, I'm here. I've got good thoughts toward you. I'm going to do good things for you. I love you. I'm with you. Can you handle that kind of message from God this morning? I'm with you, he says. Say it with me. I am with you, says the Lord. They were judged for sin. God says, I'm bigger. Mercy triumphs over judgment, is what the Bible says. Now, we need to repent of our sins Ask Him to wash us clean by His blood. But the good news that He has is literally incredible. God is gracious. If you're in sin this morning, turn from it. Turn away from it. Ask Him to come into your heart if you haven't done that. Ask Him to forgive you, because what a great forgiving God we get to serve. Your Father God loves you. Anybody excited about that this morning besides me? God loves you. God loves you. If I need to keep saying it, I'll say it all morning till we get it. God loves you. That's good news. For God so loved the world, please read it with me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. Man, that's something to cheer about, isn't it? Woo! God's good! What'd you learn about at church? The love of God! It's good! Hallelujah! Loud pastor this morning. Why? Because God's love. He loves His people. So between the Old Testament and the New Testament, how many years were there? 400 years. 400 years of silence. When the prophecies, when the prophets stopped prophesying, the people of God were being dealt with. They were restored after the captivity in Babylon, but it wasn't a fresh word. But how many of you know with God, 400 years of silence is being quiet long enough? So He sends Jesus. He sends Jesus. When Jesus fulfilled His ministry and then ascended back to His Father, He said, I will send My Holy Spirit to come upon you. Go wait till you be endued, clothed upon, the Greek is. Be clothed upon, endued, empowered from on high by My Spirit. And you'll recall 120 of them in an upper room praying in Acts 1 and Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of God falls on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit turns timid people into people who boldly, Peter for instance, stands up and proclaims the Word of God, and people are saved. The moving of the Holy Spirit comes to comfort, encourage, teach, and bless His people, and also turn them into powerful evangelists. How many of you know people need Jesus? The Spirit of God gives us direction, wisdom, insight, and power to be able to reach out. So when we gather, like we do this morning, God wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear Him. He wants us to take time to worship Him, love Him, adore Him, communicate our love to Him, and then listen to Him and give Him room to speak to us. Say the phrase, give Him room. Bridegroom to bride, bride back to bridegroom, loving relationship, two-way street communication. Number one this morning, pay attention to God. Pay attention to God. I want to tell you a little story that I may have told you about before. It's a true story. You may have ever heard of the Armenians. The Armenians. In 1915, one of the worst genocides that's ever occurred on planet Earth occurred in the Armenian homeland. They'd been a civilization for about 3,000 years, overrun by many over the years. They were the first in about 313 AD to become a fully Christian nation. Love the Lord. The Armenians, this is right by Turkey, that land today. The Armenian people were the professionals, believed in education. They were the doctors, the lawyers, the leaders of their country. And they were literally overrun and thrown out. About 1.5 million of them were slaughtered and killed. Another million marched out to the deserts, treated horribly, and died on the journey. It was a horrific thing. And even to this day, many in Turkey, in leadership today, refuse to acknowledge that it was a genocide. But there are country after country, eyewitness after eyewitness, our own U.S. ambassador to the country that gave report after report to our American presidents and Congress about what was taking place, a literal bloodbath. But I want to tell you a little story. Anybody ever hear of Demas Shakarian? Demas Shakarian was the leader of a group called Full Gospel Businessmen International. Now, some of you heard about that in the late 60s and became renowned, still active today in countries all around the face of the earth. And it's a meeting where they have lunch as business people, men and women actually, get together and share the good things of God. Multitudes of people came to Jesus, baptized in the Spirit, helped to spread the fires of revival around the earth. And Damas Shakarian was the leader of this group. His son Richard actually leads it now. But I want to tell you a little story, and I'm going to take a little bit of time to tell it. Damas Shakarian was named after his grandfather, a remarkable man who fled from Armenia in 1905 to settle in Los Angeles. The family left their homeland. Now listen, what I'm talking about, I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you this story. Y'all, everybody awake?
Yeah.
This is all about giving God room. All right? They responded and left their homeland in response to a prophecy that occurred in 1852 about a time of unspeakable tragedy that was going to come to Armenia. That hundreds of thousands of people would be killed. And later on, 50, 60 years later, the same prophet who had brought that word understood again by the Spirit of the Lord that it was time very shortly for the fulfilling of that prophecy. When Hitler started his campaign to exterminate Jewish people, the quote is this: he believed that no one cared about the Armenians, they will not care about the Jews. The Russian boy prophet, to tell you the full story, the prophecy came to a Russian boy prophet about 10 or 11 years old. And this little boy was Efim, I can't even pronounce his name, Klubnikin. And he saw that this unspeakable tragedy was going to unfold. His grandfather and he were part of a large Pentecostal Christian group of Armenians who's fled their country to move to Los Angeles. From his earliest ages, even as a younger boy, this man, Efim, had a gift for prayer, even as a little boy. Went on, as a little kid, long fasts, praying around the clock. In the 1950s, he was literally illiterate. You follow what I'm saying? Couldn't read or write. He was illiterate. But he heard the Lord calling him to one of these times of prayer again, a prayer vigil. He persisted in prayer as an 11-year-old boy for 7 days and seven nights. At such time, then, he received this incredible, vivid, full-on vision from the Lord. He couldn't read or write, but he sat in his little stone cottage, saw before him a series of charts and a message in beautiful handwriting. He asked for a pen and paper. This is a true story. He asked for a pen and paper. After 7 days, and for 7 days, sitting down at his rough plank table where the family ate, he drew carefully and copied down carefully everything, the forms and the shapes of letters and diagrams that had passed before his eyes. When he had finished, he took the manuscript to the people in the village who could read, and it turned out that this illiterate child had written out in Russian characters a series of instructions and warnings. At some unspecified time in the future, the boy wrote, every Christian in Armenia would be in terrible danger. The rest of this story I'll tell you in a few minutes, but literally you should know that at the end of the days when this was fulfilled, Christians were marched and put into barns, the barns set on fire, and they were told that if they would renounce their Christianity, they would be allowed to be let out of the barns. And multitudes of them began to lift up their voice in song to the Lord while the barns burned around them. They were brutally murdered. But he saw this in his vision. The time would come when everyone in the region must flee. They were supposed to go to a land across the sea. Although he had never owned a geography book, the boy prophet drew a map showing exactly where they were supposed to go. And to the amazements of the adults, he wrote out and drew out the Atlantic Ocean. There was no doubt about it, or the identity of the country on the other side. And it plainly indicated the coast of the United States of America. They chose to come to Los Angeles, where tons of Pentecostal Armenian Christians settled before the Azusa Street Revival. Damis Shakarian became part of that family as a grandson, and they started a little dairy herd with three cows. And by the time that decades had gone by, they had the largest dairy herd in the United States with 3,000 cattle, and he went in and began this incredible ministry. Saved alive because they gave God room. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
They gave God room. Little after the turn of the century, Ephraim, who had grown older, announced that the time was near for the fulfillment of the message written down 50 years before. And the Pentecostal Christians who gave God room sold their farms or walked away from them, their homes, and they made the transition to America. Now listen, as they packed up and left, hundreds of people would jeer them as they got on board vessels. Skeptical, disbelieving people, including many Christians, refused to believe that God would issue any pinpoint instructions for modern people in a modern age. That he wouldn't do it. This is all over with, right? God doesn't speak to his people. And so maybe it took a little 11-year-old boy with the faith of a little child who happened to believe God. Unimaginable horror unfolded in 1915. Horrific fulfillment, right down to the word of how God had moved. But those who took time to listen and give God room, who responded in faith to God, were saved alive. All I'm saying by this story, and I know I've taken several minutes to tell it, is that God is alive and well. And we need to give him room. We need to listen to him. God, I believe, how many of you have ever had promptings in your spirit and it turned out because you obeyed that prompting, you were safe from something that could have happened to you? Come on, let's see the show of hands. The Holy Spirit speaks to his people in that way. Now, some of us have probably responded, you know, I remember young in the Lord trying to, you know, you're driving down the car and you go, turn right. Okay, I just feel led. I'm driving down. Turn right. Drive down the road. Turn left. Turn left. Turn right again. Okay, God's leading me. Wonder what's going to happen. Maybe I'm going to lead multitudes to Jesus. Turn left again. There you are. You're there. And I'm in an empty farmer's field. I think I got a little bit more hearing to do. But the point is, at least I tried to obey. So, doesn't mean that we're perfect and hear perfect. In fact, the Bible says we prophesy in part, we understand in part, we grow. Those who by reason of use have their discernment exercised, as the scripture, there's exercising just like your muscles that you're building up. They grow, they get better. So too, our listening ability with the Lord grows and gets better. And we want to bless each other and hear God and give him room. I believe in this hour, it's very important. Those who heeded the prophecy were fine. He is speaking if we will listen to him. He wants to speak to us. Let's give him room. Point number two. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. Welcome the Holy Spirit. However he wants to move, whatever he wants to do. Now, many people in many churches have shut the door to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We don't want that here. Might as well hang a sign. You're not welcome here. Those gifts are not welcome here. We don't want that because it can cause confusion. The point of the Bible is that God wants to do something bigger than we might know or understand. And as long as it's in the Bible, then we build our faith on what this says. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Here is, say it with me, here is the word of truth. If it's not in here, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. Right, Jerry? If it ain't in here, it ain't worth the powder to blow it up. If it's in here, we want to be men and women of faith who trust him and give him room. So check the scripture. Make sure it's in the scripture. But Lord, do what you want to do. And when something happens that you don't understand, if something happened this morning in this service that was one of the prophecies or something like that, you go, I don't get that. Go to the Bible. And look and see, was prophecy in the New Testament? Was there such a thing? Did God speak to His people? Was the Word of God that came forth this morning, did it, what's the fruit? Did it bring you closer to Jesus, more understanding of Him and His Word? Or did it take you away? Did it fill you full of pride? You're the greatest thing since peanut butter. You're going to be the greatest leader in the world. You don't care about you. Was it unbiblical? If it was that, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. But if it leads you to Jesus and you're checking the Bible and understanding, then it bears fruit in your life and mine. Remember when Paul was looking for places to preach, he was kicked out of one place, ran from another place because they turned against him. They didn't like the moving of the Spirit. But then he arrived in the city of Berea. And the Bible tells us the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they, remember, searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So let it, even if it's a little different than what you're used to, take you to the Word of God. He wants to speak to us. So I kind of think the Lord's attitude is, hey guys, I've been waiting for you too. You know, we come to church, we say, hey, what's he going to do today? And Jesus is here saying, praise God you're here, man. I got something to say to you. Yeah. Huh? I mean, what? Well, you got your choice. You can either come to church like, oh, boy. Or you can come to church like, wow, what's he going to do today? I'd rather come to church that way, wouldn't you? What's he going to do today? Do it, Lord. Do, Lord. Oh, do, Lord. He's got something. Everyone in the room, God wants to speak something to each person in this room. Now, sometimes an emphasis or point might really strike you by the Spirit's guidance. Another time, somebody else in the room is hearing something completely different. You get together afterwards and say, man, I just loved that point, didn't you? And you go, well, that point was fine, but I love this point. Because the Holy Spirit wants to help and speak to every single one of us in this room. But we have to be willing to give Him room. Watch what the Bible says. Out of the New King James, 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Do not, what does it say? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. NIV says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with what? Contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Out of the New Living. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. But test everything that is good. Hold on to what is good. The New American Standard. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. And then the message. You got to love the message. Straightforward. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything. Keep only what's good. Quench literally means, in the Greek, don't extinguish the flame of the Holy Spirit. Don't spend your time trying to shut down the flame of God. Don't put the, how many have ever put out candles by that candle snuffer? You know, the candle snuffer, you put it out, takes the flame right away. Don't do that. If you don't understand it, it's okay. Is it in the Bible? And if it's in the Bible, say, okay, Lord, then help me grow and show me what it is. But don't extinguish the flame. Don't pour a bucket of ice water on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Welcome Him. Receive Him. Give Him room. And don't despise His movings. What does that mean in the Greek? Don't look at it as contemptible. Don't despise. Don't look, consider the prophecy least esteemed. Set it not. Don't despise His movings. Don't sit back and say, I can't stand that. I don't like that person. I don't like what they say. I don't like how they do it. I don't like how they say it. I don't like how they sing it. God will bring people into your life to bless you. There was an old Bible teacher, one of my favorite Bible teachers growing up. He used to say this, and I mean this with a smile, because it was so funny, and then I'd go, oh, ouch, when I realized what he said. He goes, God either, and you may have noticed that. Let me back up a little bit. Did you always work with perfect people on your jobs? Did you always love everybody? They're all great. They're all so cool. How about, do you think everybody on your job always thought you were cool? Okay. So this Bible teacher used to say, God will either bless you or afflict you with people according to your need. Yikes! It's really a pit when it's so convicting, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. You know, you carry to the Lord this concern for this person, and God says, you know, Tim, I'm going to keep this up in your life until you learn what I want you to learn from it. And so sometimes things, if they rub you the wrong way, keep your attitude right and say, okay, Lord, teach me from it. But sometimes God will bring people into your life to bring his message. Will you listen and give him room? Don't look down on it. Again, if it's not in the Bible, then throw it away. It's not worth a powder to blow it up. Maybe somebody brings a warning to you from the Lord. This isn't a release for condemnation and shame. That's not the purpose of Bible prophecy. But maybe somebody has a word for you that's a little different than what you thought. So what you do with that is you take it and you go, okay, well, I'll pray about it. Thank you very much. But if it's leading you away from Jesus into shame and condemnation, it's not the word of the Lord. Just toss it out. Listen, I want you to know, I want to say this one more time. I said it a couple of weeks ago. Be far more concerned about his absence than our excess. The Lord will correct us if we go into excess in the Bible. But how many of you know, when you take a look at this, I think we got a long way to go before we're jumping into excess. Raising from the dead, and people dramatically healed right in front of our eyes, and all of those things. We've seen it before. God can do it. I guess I haven't seen too many raised from the dead. I just take by faith Jesus was. I'm far more concerned about the absence of his presence than our excess. But listen to the scripture, you guys. It's not just the negative. We'll come to a close here. It's not just the negative. Watch what the scripture says. Okay, there's the negative, but watch this. Therefore, brethren, 1 Corinthians 14, 39-40, desire earnestly to prophesy. What to do it? Lord, I want to jump in. I want to be in the river. I want to jump in the river, go swimming this morning. I want to be involved. When there's prayer this morning as we respond to the prophecies, I'm going to pray. I'm going to jump in. I came to meet with you, and Lord, I'm going to jump in. Turn to each other and say, you can do it. I see some of you didn't say anything to each other there. But desire earnestly to prophesy. Do not, watch this, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, oh, correct. Decently and in order. But what does it say? Let all things be done. All right, out of another version, NIV. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Just give you a thought, and then we're going to close. Lots of times, people that don't agree with the fresh moving of the Spirit today will point to Corinthians and pick up certain verses, and they say, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And we realize the Apostle Paul taught carefully on how to exert and to exercise the gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 right through to 1 Corinthians 14. By the way, the context of the gifts of the Spirit to be expressed in the body are really centered and focused on 1 Corinthians 13. Not just a gift, have gift, will travel. There's a focus. And the focus in the middle, sandwiched in the middle of it all, is 1 Corinthians 13. How many remember what that chapter is? What is it? The love chapter. So all the gifts of the Spirit are to be exercised in a spirit of love to Jesus and love to his people. That's where there's no shame and condemnation and putting down other people. You've all heard the stories where people have prophesied in congregations against other people. And how many remember the name Ichabod? The glory has departed in the Old Testament. And somebody was born, the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen, and the priest died, and one of the sons died in battle, and that wife was having a baby, and the heartbreak to her, she named her kid Ichabod. Means the glory has departed. By the way, don't ever name your kids Ichabod, okay? And so there was a group, this is a true story, there was a group having difficulty and factions in a church arguing with one another. So one Sunday morning somebody got up and just in the wrong spirit said, "The Lord declares the name Michelob over this church." How many of you know that wasn't the Spirit of the Lord? It wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. So God wants to do something, but 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, I want to give you the context. Why did there need to be such instruction in the church? At least they were up doing something, but they needed direction. Why was it important? Because not too many miles away, one of the most important things in antiquity and in all history, one of the most influencing things in all ancient history, was the oracle at Delphi. And the Delphi oracle was such that people would pay huge money, tons of money, came in to climb up to the oracle of Delphi, and they would pay money, and this priestess would sit in this lower crevice, and there'd be others with her, writing down, and she would babble out something in a language, and they would interpret it. And the Corinthians knew all about this. Well, speaking in tongues, crazy stuff. And Paul says, no, that's a devilish counterfeit. And here's the instruction on how God wants to move. How many of you understand the devil tries to counterfeit what God does? But if you stick with the Scripture, there's not a counterfeit in the Church of Jesus. He doesn't like to live in the presence of praise and worship, so he gets out. But we want to be accurate according to the Word of God. But the Delphi Oracle was what they had in mind as they began to learn about these things. And Paul brought them to Jesus. How many of you understand that Jesus comes in and Corinth goes out? Jesus comes in and changes us. And old understandings and what we used to be goes out. And that's why there's such instruction. And the point being, Jesus wants to speak to his people if we'll give him room. The Spirit of the Lord moves and helps us fall deeper in love with him. The Spirit of the Lord moves and we fall in love with his word. And we get right with him. And we get convicted by the Spirit. And we want to stay close to him. We repent of our sins. And we make him number one in our lives. And we come to church and we're strengthened by what he does. And he gathers us together. And I'm going to repeat, he's here in our midst. And he says, I want to speak to you. Will you listen? Will you give me room? In another few weeks, over the next few weeks, we're going to take some more time. We're going to talk about the utterance gifts and the expression gifts and take a few more weeks to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it makes perhaps a little more sense if you haven't had much teaching or background. If you have, hopefully it'll strengthen you. But above all, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophesying, but give room. Always give room for God. Amen. Stand with me. Musicians, will you come? Please. Let's always give him room. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are delighted that you've been here. We'll be here next Sunday morning at this time as well. And we invite you at any time. Bring friends, bring family. We're here to celebrate his presence together. If the Lord has spoken to you and you want to take time to come on up front and gather together and pray with others to seal in what the Lord is doing, do so. Come on up. If you need healing in your body, we believe the Lord brings healing and we take time for prayers. There'll be a team of people gathered over here in these chairs. They'll be honored to pray with you. Some of you may need a freer release in the Holy Spirit. Team of people will be here to pray for you. Don't go without having your hunger in the Lord met, because he's here. The Lord has spoken to you, and you need something from the Lord, you feel free to come on down. you're out of town and you won't be with us next week, we're so glad that you've been with us. God is gracious. He's loving. He's kind. The Lord wants you to know it. Would you raise your hands, please, for the blessing of the Lord? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Now bless your people, Lord, as we've gathered in your name to come and give you room. We love you, Lord. Bless each one in Jesus' name. And they all say,
amen.
Amen. Have a great day in the presence of the Lord.